The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus entered the synagogue. There was a man there who had a withered hand. They watched Jesus closely to see if he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up here before us." Then he said to the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than evil, to save life rather than to destroy it?" But they remained silent. Looking around at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart, Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately took counsel with the Herodians against him to put him to death. The Gospel of the Lord. Today's readings speak powerfully to us about courage. And in a conflict-averse age in which so many Christians are cowardly in our living of the faith, in which bishops don't denounce evils, in which priests are afraid that their parishioners won't like the knife on occasion of the Word of God, and so don't talk about anything controversial, in which so many Catholics are intimidated even to bring up the goodness of our faith with colleagues or family members, how desperate we are for this message of courage. Today's first reading, we see one of the most famous scenes in the Old Testament, David versus Goliath. It was such a mismatch. Goliath, 6'9", well over 200 pounds, with 135 pounds of state-of-the-art armor from 3,000 years ago, against this little kid who had come up to him, not face to face, but face to waist, with a small little slingshot and 5 smooth stones. And yet David didn't hesitate, because he had the virtue of courage. Likewise in the Gospel, Jesus knew that his defense of the Sabbath, the real meaning of the Lord's Day, as a day to press the reset button in our life, to restore us to a right relationship with God and others, that the Sabbath, in his defense of it, against the high walls that the scribes and the Pharisees had built around it with regard to work so that you wouldn't even get close to violating it, that it had become even more important than the commandment. Jesus knew that his defense of the Sabbath would ultimately lead to his crucifixion. So Jesus saw this man with a withered hand. The Greek word there for withered signifies that he wasn't born crippled. It was an injury that he had suffered in his hand, probably through work. And the man couldn't return to work, and Jesus was filled with compassion. He saw that man there, and he brought him forward. And he asked a very important question. On the Lord's Day, is it possible to love anybody? Can we do anything good to glorify God on the day we dedicate to him? Because they thought that the clear answer to that question was no, because you'd be violating your own prescriptions around the commandment. And so they remained silent. They didn't even have the courage to reply. But later on in that very Sabbath day, after Jesus healed this man, they would use the Lord's Day to do evil and plot with their arch enemies. The Herodians were laxists, the Pharisees and scribes were rigorous, they'd never have anything to do with each other. They would use the Sabbath to go and begin to plot to murder Jesus. Wasn't lawful for Jesus to do good, but it was totally according to the law for them to plot homicide. Today we celebrate the feast of two great martyrs. Likewise, courageous, Pope St. Fabian was a layman when he was elected Pope in 236. He distinguished himself over the next 14 years. He was one of the long lines of all the early popes who were all martyred for our faith. The first 36 popes died as martyrs. And he died in the ferocious anti-Christian persecution by Decius in 250 and 251. St. Sebastian came 50 years later. He was a soldier in the Roman army, and he buttressed the courage of the martyrs as they were preparing for death until he himself was outed as a Christian and killed himself. Courage. Where do we get it? There are three great motivations for courage. First motivation is faith. David had faith in the name of the Lord. And even though he had five small little stones, he knew that those five little stones, his slingshot, and his faith in God tipped the odds in his favor. It's faith that makes us courageous. The second thing that makes us courageous is love. Jesus loved this man with the withered hand. And he was willing to suffer as a result of his helping him. How many moms who are petite become mama bears if their kids are in danger? Love can really fortify the backbone. And the third, which is a politically incorrect virtue in the modern world, is anger. Not any anger, but righteous indignation. We see in the gospel that Jesus was angry at the Pharisees and grieved at their hardness of heart. It's anger, a holy anger, that can get us to act, to just say, that's not right, and somebody's got to do something. If there's nobody else here, here I am, Lord, send me. I'll at least stand up, I'll at least speak up, I'll at least do something, come what may, because I have faith in you, I have love for you, and I have love for this person's suffering and injustice. Those are the three great motivations for courage. We need to stoke those. And what are the stones we have in the slingshot with which God arms us? David didn't go in just with faith. He went in with some weapons. What are our weapons? Our first weapon is prayer. Pope Francis is constantly calling us to take up the arms of the rosary, the arms of prayer. Second great weapon we have is God Himself in the Holy Eucharist. What an incredible weapon that is. Third weapon we have is the Holy Word of God. A lot of the times we're not armed enough with this great weapon, but it's there for us to strengthen us in battle. And it's like a two-edged sword when we know how to use it. Fourth great weapon is God's forgiveness. In this year of mercy, it's so important for us to count on this. One of the things that can make us cowardly is when we recognize we're not in a relationship with the Lord, that if I were to die today, I might not be acquitted to the Lord's eternal right. But when we know we're in the state of grace, we can go with confidence. The Lord wants us to have that boldness that comes from having our souls consistently returned to the baptismal beauty in the sacrament of confession. And the fifth great weapon, the fifth great stone we have in our slingshot, is the gift of community. It's the gift of unity with others. When we know we're not fighting alone, but we're fighting together with all the angels. We're fighting together with the community of saints. We're fighting together with so many brothers and sisters throughout the world. The holy fight, the good fight. Then we're not so afraid as if we're all alone and exposed out there. And how important it is for us to know that we're in communion with the martyrs. We're now on the third day of the octave of prayer for Christian unity. Something that we need to pray with insistence. And Pope Francis has been constantly talking about the ecumenism of blood. and how strengthened we are that some of our Anglican brothers and sisters are willing to die for the faith we profess, that our Orthodox brothers and sisters are willing to die for the same faith for which so many of us Roman Catholics are dying in Iraq and Syria, in Nigeria, and elsewhere. Today, as we come forward to be strengthened by the Lord with the same nourishment with which he strengthened Fabian and Sebastian, let us ask him to help us to respond with faith, with holy anger, with real Christian charity, with prayer, with a total dependence on him in the Eucharist, with the Word of God, with mercy, and with communion. Today we prayed in the psalm, "Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for battle, my fingers for war." And thank you for starting your day in this Christian boot camp. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.